This morning we're turning, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, and we want to begin reading at the 23rd verse. And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I and likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, If we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, Why did ye not then believe him? But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet. And they answered Jesus and said, We cannot tell. And he said unto them, Neither tell I you by what authority I do these things. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, Son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? And they said unto him, The first. Jesus saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him, and ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Our fathers, we gather together in this meeting this morning, and as we come before thy throne of grace and prayer, we come to you to thank you, to praise you, for the many good gifts that you've poured out upon us. We come asking thy blessing, Lord, upon each one who has come to this meeting, that we might realize that this is a day that the Lord has made, that we might rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, we're thankful also for the great liberty that's ours to come and consider the things which are written in thy word together, to know the blessedness of freedom, to know the blessedness of opportunity to hold in our hands that which is the very word of God. We ask thee, Lord, to give us the wisdom to open our minds and hearts to these things, to rejoice this morning in the knowledge of sins forgiven, because we've found the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that today might be the day of salvation in the hearts of some. Could there be those here who are still outside the Savior? We ask, Father, that now, as we continue in this meeting, that all that's said and done might be to thy praise and to thy glory. That as we consider the eternal word of God together, that we might know what it is to worship thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning I'd like to preach you a message called How to Miss Heaven. I'm sure you've heard quite a few sermons on how to get there. At least I hope you have if you come here with any regularity. But I'd like to take a few moments to point out to you this morning a few of the reasons why people are going to miss heaven. Not because I want anybody to miss it, but because a frightening number of people will not be there for the very reasons that I hope to point out to you this morning. In the course of any given week, I talk to many people about themselves, about their family, about their friends, about others they meet with regard to their spiritual welfare, about the condition of the souls of men in the light of eternity. Now some people say, well, I was a Christian one time, but I lost my salvation. Other people say, I think I'm going to heaven. Some of them say, when I was young, I went up in a revival meeting. Or sometimes people say, no, my preacher doesn't preach about the need to be saved, but I'm a Christian. Other people say, well, it doesn't really matter what church you go to, as long as you believe in Jesus. Some people say, well, I'm a Christian. even though I don't really live like it, because you've heard of backsliders, haven't you? And on we might go with statements that are indicative of something. They tell us of a danger signal that's evident so many times in conversation. Because when you hear things of this nature, you have an indication that perhaps you've found someone who's in great danger of missing heaven. We have people in our church who are brought up as Methodist, as Roman Catholic, Dutch Reform, Presbyterian, Baptist, Episcopalian, and many others. But every single one was at one time in danger of missing heaven. And some may still be. Because you see, it's possible to sit in any church Sunday after Sunday. It's possible to hear great preachers by way of radio or television or reading sermons that they've preached. It's possible to believe in God, to believe in the Bible, to believe in Jesus Christ, and still miss heaven forever. On our scripture reading today, the Lord Jesus was in church. He was in the temple, as we read it there in the 23rd verse. He was talking to chief priests and elders and church leaders. He was speaking to those who went to church regularly, who read and believed the Bible, people who tithe, people who observe special religious holidays. Everybody in town, I'm sure, recognized these men as good people, as outstanding church people, because these were the religious leaders that the Lord Jesus was encountering. But with all this, they learned basically only one thing. They learned how to miss heaven. Jesus said in verse 31, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you." Speaking to these good people, speaking to these religious leaders, the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Now maybe you say, "Well, preacher, what's that got to do with me?" Because you see, I know I'm going to heaven. But you see, that's the point. These men felt exactly the same way. These men had studied the Bible. They'd heard it preached. These men knew how they'd been brought up and what they believed. But the Lord Jesus said that they were mistaken. He said that they had misunderstood. He said that they had missed the point of what it meant to be on the way to heaven. And I believe they'd missed it in just the same way that many people are missing it today. Now first let me point out that everybody has a view about God. Everybody has some idea about religion. Everybody has a view about the Bible in general. Everybody believes something, even if they just believe the whole thing's ridiculous. And there are people that believe that. In fact, it's a very common statement to hear someone say, "You believe your way, and I'll believe mine." And you know the wonderful thing about America is that we can do just that. You can believe your way, and I can believe mine. It's perfectly possible for anybody here in this town or in any other town to be an adherent to any religion that they please, to believe anything and everything or nothing, whatever they want to believe. But I'm talking to you this morning about how to miss heaven. And the first way to do it is by thinking that all religions are right. Now this is a common practice today. People are being taught in our country and throughout the world ecumenical consciousness. The idea that we're all going to the same place, we're just going by different roads. The idea of church unity, one day to be possible between all groups and all denominations and all beliefs, so that one day everyone will end up in heaven. And any attempt to point out anything different immediately makes you a bigot. It makes you prejudiced. It makes you one who is not demonstrating the Spirit of Christ. So they say. The only thing worse than being a communist or a member of the Ku Klux Klan is to criticize somebody's religion. But let's think about that for just a minute. Now let's say that you're a Roman Catholic this morning, and that you believe the teaching of the Church of Rome, clearly set down on paper in the history of the Roman Catholic Church. And suppose you know someone who's a Baptist. Now, if a Baptist truly believes Baptist doctrine and what it teaches, he believes that you, as a Roman Catholic, will not be in heaven, because he believes that salvation is by grace through faith. Or let's say that you're a Methodist. You can open a Catholic publication, and you'll find that Catholic doctrine states emphatically that the Roman Catholic Church is the one true church. It says that as a Methodist, you won't be in heaven. Now, maybe you're a Presbyterian. And if you believe Presbyterian doctrine, then the Jehovah's Witnesses say that you won't be in heaven. And we could go on and on. So you see, everybody can't be right by the very fact of their own teaching. Somebody has to be wrong. That is, if anything that's ever been believed or written by any church means anything. Somebody, in fact, most people on that basis, have to be wrong. So you see, the teaching that all religions are right is just mass confusion. How can there be any comparison between the beliefs of a Buddhist and the beliefs of a Lutheran or an Episcopalian? And yet men have somehow fallen into the trap of believing that, well, I guess since we don't understand it any better, it must be true that everybody's going to the same place. They're just going by different roads. But you see, that's a logical and a practical impossibility. Now, another way to miss heaven is by ignoring the teaching of the Bible. Because you see, the Bible is God's only message to man. Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." The Bible claims to be able to make you wise unto salvation, to point out to you, to teach you the way to heaven, the way of everlasting life. Jesus later said to some of these same church leaders, he said, "Ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures, neither the power of God." He said, the problem with you is that you don't understand the Bible. Because you see, if they did, they would have known the way to heaven. Because it's right here, clearly set down before us, in the Word of God. The Apostle Paul wrote, "By inspiration of God, that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." Saving faith comes to us by revelation of God through the pages of His Word. Now Jesus again was speaking to some of these same religious leaders, and He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me." Now you see, these men were Bible students. They studied the Word of God. And in them, they thought they had eternal life. But they were mistaken, because they didn't understand that the Bible testifies of the Lord Jesus Christ. It testifies of Him as the only way to heaven. Now that might seem quite narrow, and it is. But this is the teaching of the Word of God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Now heaven is where the Father is. "Our Father which art in heaven." And Jesus said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Be he Catholic, Methodist, Presbyterian, Buddhist, or what have you. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. The only way to heaven is by the Lord Jesus. Now these men had searched the Scriptures, and in them they thought they had eternal life. But they were wrong. And yet God says, "These things, speaking in the Bible, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life." God says that it's possible for man to know beyond question. that he has eternal life. God has written the Bible so that we can know that we're going to heaven. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So this is God's purpose, that we should hear the message of the Bible, that we should have faith, that we should be saved, and know that we're going to heaven. All right, let's say now that we're not going to miss heaven by believing that all the religions are right, because they're too exclusive. They're too contradictory to believe that. Let's say that we're not going to miss heaven by ignoring the teaching of the Bible because we believe that it is God's Word to men and that it shows to us how to get to heaven. But the third way that people are going to miss heaven is by not giving their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, basically, that's what the Lord Jesus is presenting in this passage that we've read here this morning. This brings us down to the very point of the words of the Lord Jesus in this passage. These men were good people. They were church people. They were religious people. These men didn't accept all the contradictory religions of the world. They believed the Bible was God's Word. But you see, they refused to give their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the message of the Bible centers around this very truth. All, the Bible says, now, all includes good church people. It includes religious leaders. It includes harlots, drunkards, and everybody in between. All. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody. The psalmist said, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Solomon said in his wisdom, there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Sin is something that's to be found in the life of every single one, rich or poor, young or old. And yet God says that hell is the punishment for sin. Now, we can scratch that out of the Bible. You don't have to believe that. But that's what it says, that hell is the punishment for sin. All have sinned and all must be punished. Now, that might sound like a condemnation on the whole human race. And that's exactly what it is. The Bible says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Everybody is included in this one great big lump called sinners. Now, of course, I'm sure you're aware that not everybody sins to the same degree. Some people are like these church leaders, these elders, these chief priests, who live relatively moral lives, and yet they've sinned. Other people are like the prodigal son. They go into the far country. They waste their substance in riotous living. They degrade themselves. They destroy their health. They lose all that they have in this world because of sin. There are varying degrees, and yet all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. All must be punished. But you see, the Lord Jesus came into this world for the purpose of taking our punishment for us. He was our substitute. He was our Savior. The angel said, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Very simple word to testify the purpose of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He came to save you and me from our sins. Now, when we look here at this particular point, when we look at the fact that the Lord Jesus came into this world, he died as our substitute there upon the cross, he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, he ascended into heaven, we're talking about the blessed story of the gospel. And Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek or to the Gentile. Now, God is revealing right here in the Bible this way of salvation. The fact that Jesus died for sinners, The fact that he laid down his life in your place and mine there upon the cross of Calvary. But be careful now, because right here at this point is where many people miss heaven. The Lord Jesus died to save you. But you see, you have to let him. Now, that's what faith is all about. Saving faith is an attitude. It's a willingness on our part to let God do his work in the hearts of men. The message of the Bible is that man cannot save himself, but Jesus came to save us. And what we need is this attitude of recognizing this, believing this, being willing to let God do what he came to do in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a willingness on your part to be saved. Now, the question that the Lord Jesus was discussing with these religious people was authority. And exactly the same question is the one that he puts before you and me here this morning. Who has the authority in your life? Is it you? Or is it the Lord Jesus Christ? Who's the one who has control? Who's the one who's the decision maker? The one who's exercising the government over your life as an individual? You see, the teaching of the Bible is that man is born a free moral agent. He has a right to choose to go out and buy a bottle of liquor. He has a right to choose whether he's going to church on Sunday or not. He has a right to choose whether he's going to live in nightclubs. He has all these decisions that face him every single day that he lives. And nobody can tell you today or tomorrow what to believe or how you're going to live your life or the fact that you must do this or you must do that. You can tell anybody what you're going to do or not do. Now be careful, you might get fired if you go back and try to carry that too far. But the point I'm making is that you do indeed have the right of decision in this matter of authority. It's up to you to decide who's going to be in control. Now these men came to Jesus. They said, "Who are you? By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority?" And you see, this is a question that must be settled in your life and mine concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What authority does he have? Who is he? Is he just another good man who lived historically about 2,000 years ago? One who came to set us an example so that we might live a good moral life and try to do right? Or is he what he claimed to be, God manifest in the flesh? Is he the creator of the universe, come in the likeness of men, to humble himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross? Is he the one who came into the world to save sinners? Or is he not? And if he is, where does he find these sinners? Was he speaking truth when he told these good religious men that they were lost? Is he speaking truth to our hearts today when he says to us that we're lost? And you see, it goes back to this matter of authority. And he gave them this parable to help them understand. Notice what we read there in verse 28. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, 'Likewise.' And he answered and said, 'I go, sir.' And he went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father?" They say unto him, "The first." Jesus saith unto them, "Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him." Now the picture here is of God dealing with the sons of men. A certain man had two sons. And the question that's being brought to our attention is this matter of authority. one of these is told of this one in authority to go and do my will, work in the vineyard. He says, I will not. But afterward, he repented and went. The other one said very politely, I go, sir. But he went not. And you see, the truth is immediately evident. This is the story of so many lives of people today. They say, well, I went forward in a revival meeting. They say, oh yes, I believe in Jesus. I believe the Bible. I was saved one time. They say very politely, I go, sir, to God in this matter of authority. But you see, the question is not, did you speak words or go through motions? The question is, did you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ? The story is told of a preacher who went to speak to a man about his soul. And he said, Mr. Jones, I've come to talk to you about where you're going to spend eternity. The man immediately got very agitated and he made some excuse about needing to leave, and he was ready to take off out the back door and get in his car. The preacher stopped him. He said, I want you to remember one question. He says, have you ever given your life to Jesus? And he turned around and walked out the door. So the man was very upset, thinking about this visit and about what the man had had to say. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? His wife came in a little later and he was telling her about the experience, about this preacher that had come and asked him this question. And she said, well, dear, did you tell him that you attend the Presbyterian Church? He said, he didn't ask me that. She said, well, did you tell him that you're a member of the Rotary Club? He said, no, he didn't ask me about that. She said, well, you told him, didn't you, that you don't drink as much as you used to? He said, no, he didn't ask me that. He asked me if I've ever given my life to Jesus. And that's a different matter altogether. Now, you see, the Lord Jesus didn't want you to miss heaven. He didn't want you to be deceived by the fact that one day you said so very politely, I go, sir, and went not. The fact that one day you saw that all the religions of the world couldn't possibly be right, so you settled on the vine. And not only that, you settled on the fact that Jesus died to save people, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It's a wonderful truth. Life was changed. Unless you stopped drinking and cursing and lying and practicing sin, unless you started doing things, you started looking for faithful preaching, for praying, for loving the Word of God, for seeking out those who love the Lord Jesus, unless these things became a reality, the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Because you see, they were honest. They said, I will not in this matter of serving God. They admitted their sin and their rebellion. And afterward, they repented and went. They admitted their disobedience. They admitted their pride. They admitted their false hypocritical religion. And they gave their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now right here is the center of the problem today. The same lack of understanding. Solomon said there's no new thing under the sun. People today are lost. People today are missing heaven on every hand. And here's one of the primary reasons. Because they've never given their life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, they're good church members, all right. Some of them. Or maybe some of them are thinking about the fact that many years ago they made a profession of faith. Or the fact that they were baptized or confirmed or whatever. But you see, that's not the issue at all. A certain man had two sons. The first said, I will not go and work. But afterward, he repented and went. The second one said, I go, sir. But he didn't go. Now, what do words mean if there's no reality behind them? What does it mean to claim to have given your life to the Lord Jesus if you haven't done it? God says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, if that has never happened in your life, what's the problem? It's because you never meant business in this matter of salvation. It's because you never settled once and for all this matter of giving your life to the Lord Jesus. Now, beloved, the way to miss heaven is clear. You just say very politely, I go, sir. I'm a Christian. I believe any church will do. I was saved years ago. And you just keep right on living for self and for the things of this world and unconcerned about the claim of God on your life. You just say, I go, sir. And you keep on lying. You keep on drinking. You keep on sitting in a dead church. You keep on being hypocritical. You'll miss heaven and burn in hell forever. And beloved, this is the solemn truth of the Word of God. These are not the ideas of the preacher. This is what the Lord Jesus was saying to these men. Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. Because John, who was he? Just another preacher. The voice crying in the wilderness. He came preaching. He came pointing them to the way of righteousness. And they wouldn't believe it. And he found these publicans, these crooked politicians, the harlots, they believed him. They turned from their sins. They gave their life to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And that's why Jesus could say to these men, the publicans and the harlots, go into the kingdom of God before you. Nothing illogical about that. Because the demand of God for salvation is that we give our life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But beloved, just as surely as you can miss heaven today, you can make it. The Lord Jesus gave His blood to make it possible. He's paid for all of your sins, past, present, and future. He gave His life for you. Will you give your life to Him? That's the great issue that faces you this morning. Not, are you a member of Calvary Memorial Church or any other church? Not, have you been baptized? Not, were you brought up a Presbyterian or Baptist or Methodist or Lutheran or whatever? The question is, have you ever given your life to the Lord Jesus? To let Him take control? To let Him begin to direct you in the way that you go and in the things that you do? Now, Jesus was talking about saved people. About people who are going to be in heaven. And He said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. And they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now there's a lot said there. But the central points are this. Those who are truly the sheep of the Lord Jesus are going to hear His voice. He says, a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from Him, for they know not the voice of strangers. His sheep hear His voice, and He knows them. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. I don't know who's saved here today and who's not. I don't know who's on the way to heaven and who's not. I don't know who has actually given their life to the Lord Jesus and who hasn't. But He knows. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them. But then He said this, and they follow me. They go and work in His vineyard. Not in order to get to heaven, but because they're on the way to heaven. They follow me. I wonder if that's a reality in your life today. I wonder if you can look at the things you do and the things you say, the life that you live, say, I'm following Jesus. I know I'm one of His sheep. Because my life demonstrates in a practical way that I've given my life to Him. Now, if this be the case, He said, I'll give you eternal life. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, that's the security that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the promise of His Word. That if we ever truly give our life to Him, we have this eternal life that He offers. Now, not making a false profession, not joining a church, not trying to do better, not going forward in a revival meeting, but giving our life to the Lord Jesus. He'll give us everlasting life. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, we do praise You that You've seen fit to bring us here this morning under the sound of Thy Word once again. And Lord, we just pray that if there should be someone here today who can understand the point behind these things, who can see that possibly in their life today it's evident that they've misunderstood, that they've been mistaken about this way of salvation that You've provided here in the Word of God. Lord, we pray that today might be the day of salvation. And Lord, we just ask that should there be one who can see the need, that they won't hesitate beyond today, realizing that our life is even as a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Father, we know that none of us has any merit to claim in Thy sight. We can see the truth of Thy Word that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And Father, we just pray that today You'll work mightily in the hearts of men, that those who have never come to know the Lord Jesus might see the desperate need to say, I go, sir, and mean it. To realize that time and time again they've said, I will not. And today, right now, to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for all that. I want to trust my life and my eternal destiny into Your hands and go work today in Your vineyard. I want to give You more than words. I want to give You my life. And Lord, we know that if they can pray this prayer in sincerity from their hearts, that there's going to be this transformation that You've promised. That they will indeed be born again into Thy family. That they will become children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And Lord, we just pray that these things might be done, that there might be joy in heaven, that Thy name might be glorified through the preaching of the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.